The Jeep brand has always stood for American freedom. And now we're standing with you with Employee Pricing Plus. Hurry into your Jeep brand dealer for details today and join the family. Jeep, there's only one. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Jeep brand vehicles for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers will qualify. Restrictions apply. Does not apply to leases. Ends June 2nd, 2025. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Sometimes the safest place is the most dangerous. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Thanks for joining us. Today we are talking about the investigative use of DNA, IGG, investigative genetic genealogy. It has revolutionized crime solving, leading to breakthroughs in cold cases and the apprehension of suspects such as Brian Koberger, the Golden State Killer, and others. Koberger, of course, accused in the tragic University of Idaho student murders. However, this innovative tool raises some significant and ethical and psychological questions. Joining us to discuss, psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott, who help us explore the moral ramifications of utilizing personal genetic data in criminal investigations. Siobhan, considering this is a very deeply personal thing in the nature of genetic information, what sort of psychological impacts might arise for individuals whose DNA or that of their relatives is used in such investigations without their explicit consent? And is it truly a real serious thing, or is it something that we just kind of have to live with going forward?
I think the key word is consent. And whenever we look at ethical issues, consent and informed consent, understanding all the ramifications, who's going to access the data, could there be a data breach? All that stuff is important and relevant. It does make a lot of people very uneasy. I signed up for 23andMe the minute it went out. I wanted to understand about inherited diseases. And of course, it doesn't show everything, but it does show some significant things. And if I had a serial killer in my family, I'd welcome them tracking the person down through my DNA. So I would certainly be comfortable with it. I have given consent for it to be used in that way. But I think some people have a real issue of distrust, you know, and there may be very legitimate concerns around that. And I think ethically we should make sure that, you know, we have informed consent for those things.
Since we now have informed consent with a lot of those databases. Early on, I don't know that it was in the fine print. So the argument that's being made here in the Koberger case specifically is that, people who signed up for this, they didn't really know that it could be used to track down somebody. And because of that, because they were unaware, whoever put their information into the databases, because of that, it shouldn't have been allowed to be used. Now, this, of course, has been used multiple times in other cases. I mean, if you're an investigator and you're trying to solve who killed the four college kids in your town, and this is an available resource to you, and there are no laws against using it. There is nothing there. It is still kind of the Wild West of it, because we don't have any sort of laws on the books to say, yes, you can or no, you can't. It's more so it's like a moral argument at this moment in time. Of course you're going to look for it. You're going to use it if that's going to possibly lead you to the killer. They don't necessarily know at that moment in time it will, but it's another tool that they can use, which they did, which led to Koberger's father, which then, of course, led to Koberger. And we got that super, 100% match once we got Koberger swabbed. They compared it. And it was, this is the guy, at least the guys who has the DNA on the knife sheath. The argument now on the part of the defense is everything should be thrown out, because if you didn't do that, if you took that out of the equation, nothing else would have happened. You would never have basically found the guy. It seems like a hell of an argument to try and make, but some people are behind this. They are saying, yes, this was used incorrectly. Is that, do you think that's accurate? Because again, this is kind of a moral, psychological argument. Some people are going to say, just like you, if there's a killer in your family, you want to know. I completely agree. But some people, they don't.
Yeah, I find it, you know, an interesting article. It's like, here's hard scientific evidence that's well understood, well documented. You can trace the genealogy to specific individuals in this way. If we look at morality, I think it's a lot more important that we catch people like this before they go on and commit other murders. I would tip the scales in that direction. You know, I think, yes, there are privacy concerns and we need to address that and have transparency and informed consent. I go along with that. But at the same time, if I were, you know, going to look at what tips the scales here, it's like getting these people out of, you know, the midst of us wins the battle.
Is this something where it's just kind of a level of paranoia? I mean, there's always some level of paranoia that people have over really kind of any sort of new technology that comes out. Is it rooted more in that and probably baselessly rooted in that? My thought is, well, if you have nothing to hide, then who cares if it's out there? Now, one could argue, and I had this conversation the other day with a PhD professor who's really big into this, Dan Crane, and he's bringing up the point of, okay, well, what's the limits here to it? Like, can we use it for lesser crimes, all right, the way down to jaywalking, which I don't think anybody's looking at DNA for jaywalking, but somebody robbing a store, somebody breaking an entry. I mean, insert something here that's not murder. Should it be used there, or should there be a bar on this where only these type of crimes qualify to use this sort of data?
Yeah, it takes so much time and energy to do this kind of tracking. Mm-hmm. I think there would be a natural limit on how much energy goes into petty crimes. But I think we could draw the line at violent crimes, mm-hmm, you know, where somebody has been murdered. And I think most reasonable people will go along with that, because you mentioned the word paranoia. And mm-hmm, yes, there, I know people who still won't buy something online because they're so afraid that their identity is going to be stolen, you know. And, we're all going to be on the continuum with how worried we are about privacy. Other people were worried about somebody stealing their DNA data and doing something nefarious with it. I don't think my DNA data is all that unique or interesting, you know, mm-hmm, for somebody somewhere to try and take it and do something with that data. I mean, which I think is probably an impossibility anyway. It's just data. But you find all kinds of fears when there's new technology. And I know people that won't have microwaves in their house. I mean, you know, it gets kind of nutty.
It does. I mean, my mom was that way for a long time with online shopping. I think she still is to a certain extent. She also has I think she covers like credit cards in tinfoil or something. Yeah. Because somebody's going to come in, because you always hear about that. Somebody scanning your wallet, you know, or your purse. It doesn't happen. What would you say to somebody like that, where they're feeling so insecure and so scared of somebody stealing something from you in really a way that it's out there to find a solution to a problem, find a criminal mm-hmm, who did a violent crime of some mm-hmm sort.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.